Welcome to the Culture Crush. I'm here with the beautiful Donna De Cruz of Rasa Living. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
We have been talking a lot about things that are going on in the world around us as issue 7 is out and about. And we have been fighting all year and asking questions like, whatever happened to the counterculture and fighting against sameness and all the things that we sort of believe here at the Culture Crush. And with recent events, it seems like, our fight is coming to the forefront because, not only are, certain values under attack, but culture itself is under attack. Even though we've felt that way for a long time, it seems to sort of like has bubbled up to the surface. So Donna is, an incredible, inspiring woman who comes from the world of music originally and sort of brought that into, like, how can you take, those kind of feelings and bring them into your life so that you can, experience a mindfulness and the sort of uplifting joy I think that music brings
absolutely.
You and bring that into your life every day. And so we feel like our stars are aligning. And so tell us a little bit about all of that, because to me, I see such a connection.
Totally.
Coming from the world of being a DJ and then sort of leading meditative practices.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I find it's interesting because you're using I like framing it around culture crush, and I think we could put another C in there and call it conscious culture crush as well, because I think, I started doing it because I love music. I love helping to awaken people, and that's really, to me, there's no other joy than seeing somebody who might be despondent or somebody that's catatonic, whether they're if they're in that sort of in that situation, and if they're hospitalized or they're in an addiction facility, which is where I do a lot of the work that I do, and I say work with parentheses because it's a pleasure to do the work. But I think that it's emblematic of this sort of, of this moment where we have to kind of, look at music, and I use music on a dance floor in one way where we have people move their bodies, move through time and space, get elevated, be entertained essentially. And then I took that gift that I have in music and as a label person and said, how do we actually take this into a bigger arena? I'm born in India, grew up in Australia, but I'd always had that resonance of music and the knowledge of what and the power of what music can really do. It's very easy when you're on a dance floor and you're a conductor in a way of energy, which is what a DJ can do.
Absolutely.
If you do it well enough and if you're open enough and not egoic about it, you're there to really transform, right? Transform that dance floor, transform that experience. And it's a pleasure to do it. And so I was DJing a party one day up in the Hamptons, and it was for this organization called Phoenix House. And, two beautiful young men talked about how alcohol and drugs really killed them. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I wonder if they do anything that's in the space of consciousness out of the 8 limbs of yoga. And when I asked them, they looked at me and said, we don't have the bandwidth. We don't really know what you're talking about, but why don't you come on board? And my voice, it bypassed my intellect, thankfully, immediately, and said, yep, okay, I'll be there. So I've really created over the last several years a very dynamic and accessible program, I'd say. I don't even know if it's worthy of calling it a curriculum, but it's a vortex. I just said, okay, I come from India. I know that sound impacts spirit. I know it has healing properties. I've been schooled in the ways of Vedanta, which is the ancient sort of, wisdom of India, let's say, all knowledge as it is. And I'd come out of transcendental meditation, and me and my family had been involved with the Maharishi and all of that. And I thought, I wonder if this would hold water here, if this might work, if we could use sound in the same way. I would not, of course, have given them a mantra or given them anything but the ability to stop, listen. And so I really have cultivated over the years a very simple and accessible sort of awareness program that's really based on sound. And it's been, you know, through that it's changed the lens in which I see the world, because most people are not used to quiet. We are not used, the human psyche, the human condition in its natural state certainly does not want to invite stillness, does not want to have that moment of repose. It's used to having noise, clutter, having every ounce of everything being filled, especially in New York City where we all live. So it's been a very interesting journey to kind of use the power of sound as a doorway to help people access something else.
Right, right. It's, you know, it's funny, I've always get suggestions for special issues of the Culture Crush. Oh, you should do this, you should do that. But over and over again, it's always, oh, you should do a music issue. Mm-hmm. And my answer to them is always, at the Culture Crush, every issue is a music issue, because so totally. Much culture, the richest, whether it's visual or sound or anything, always, always comes back to music. So
absolutely.
In this studio, this is music is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Even,
that's,
you know,
right.
We do video series. I mean, you're sitting here looking at this,
yes,
you know, like,
yes, yes.
And we work with, you know, directly with composers and musicians, and
beautiful.
And sometimes they'll say, you know, well, why don't you give me a rough cut of the video and then I'll do the music. And I look at them and I say, no, I need the music first.
Yes.
The music for me, you know, like I'll tell them the story and everything,
yeah.
But like I need that. It's the music is the journey, and then we,
yes,
sort of like layer the visuals on top of that.
It's
that's
true.
That's my
music
Deborah
informs
secret
so much, doesn't,
yeah,
it? It really informs the path. I think in so many, it's our salve. It's what uplifts us. It's what gives us soul. You know, and I think, you know, when we were talking the other day, I kind of was thinking about that idea. Like, it's a very, this is, you know, this is the most important time probably in, certainly I think in American history, in all of our histories, in our modern history, you know, when we face a time where so much is in question. And I'm not sure that it's under duress. I don't know if that, you know, particularly means that it's going to be attacked, because what can be attacked is only what allows, you know, a space for attacking. If you look at the Tao Te Ching, you know, it's often talked about, like, what is mastery here? What is the ability to attack? What is the ability to succumb? What does surrender mean? There's great power in surrendering. And we can use, I think, this moment as a great moment to kind of, you know, let the noise, there's a saying in India, you know, let the dogs bark as the caravan comes into town, because that's what happens. The caravan comes into town, the dogs bark, the dogs subside, the caravan leaves. It's like a circus, you know. And I think that's kind of this moment, and it's, and I think we can use it as a moment to inform ourselves.
That's really, I really like that, let the dogs bark. That's kind of, you know, that's how it feels right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and yeah, it's not the, it's the end of something, but it's because something else is coming. And
totally.
And you know, I think that we all can agree that it's, you know, that things are changing. The human experience is evolving as always. And I think that, you know, maybe the 20th century was a grumbling change, and now, mm-hmm, in the 21st, mm-hmm, century, it's just, yeah, it's just this, like, you know, concurrence of all of these different events all coming,
oh, absolutely,
together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think that people are, you know, a lot of people just don't want to understand, or...
Well, I think the ones that don't want to understand, they're the ones that are having great grief right now, great sorrow. Although I will say it is still all very fresh.
It's in motion.
We're in motion, and there are a lot of people that are in a place of triage, I think of it. And when something's happened, and we are in a place of triage, we have to, you know, cauterize, we have to bind what is broken, we have to heal. And I think that's very much this moment where people are saying, you know, we're all talking, and regardless of how polemic this moment is, the talking means that we're bound to listening. And I think this is not a time to be mournful. It is, or to suffer, because that is retrospective. It is what it is right now. That,
right,
is one of my favorite sayings in my family. It is what it is. And the wisdom of this moment is going to require us to go from a place of reaction to a place of response. And in between lies wisdom. Okay, that is the crucible of this moment. If we see fit, if we want to lean into this, especially as women, you know, I think, if we want to be properly informed, this is a time to really Yes, read, talk, get your information, be smart about where you're getting informed. Look at and listen to what NPR is doing. They're very smart navigators of this space. There's also great journalists out there. We were just talking about, you know, about New Yorker magazine. You know, there are some people that are really stoic but very smart about this moment. You too have great insights. And I think this is the time to be not just an antagonist, but to be a protagonist.
Right, right. That's exactly right. You know,
really, really get busy. And that means, you know, being informed will allow us to respond smartly. Being informed allows us to look at what is our legislation that is at hand, that is possibly being threatened. How do we respond to that? And there's a few websites I'm going to share with you guys in a bit. But I just, you know, just to go back, I think that, you know, there are a lot of smart sources, like Wikiburg is one. It's Wikiburg that Colin Miles and his team have started. They've been going at it for a while, and I think that they might even be quite surprised that it's going to be used and to really connect and inform. But it's a way that we can actually go on, like, it gives you different categories. You can go on, it's a website, you go on, and you can pick a different category. I'm really concerned about women's rights and LGBTQ family. Like, what... how are they going to be positioned through this, and how are we going to caretake? And also, obviously, education. That's fundamental. And certainly around youth and just education in general. But this site, Wikiburg, allows you to go onto it, pick a lane, pick a subject, say it's, you know, human rights, whatever it might be, and it tells you how to act locally, and then how to act on a more gross scale as well. And it gives you the legislation, how to actually petition in that legislation, sign in. And it also gives you the email, the Twitter, and I think the Insta account of Congress and senators, I believe, as well.
Right.
And on a local level, and telephone numbers, which is awesome.
I think that, that's one of the best things that could happen from this, is that people are going to start paying attention to their, you know, who their congressperson is.
We never looked, did we? Any of us, as we even went down that ballot, you know, the 51% of us that did vote, isn't that the percentage? 51% of people voted, 49% didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But we went down the ballot. I can't tell you who those other folks were that I just said, okay, well, I don't know really who they are and what they stand for. I don't know anything about them.
Right. Well, on the New York ballot, we had almost no choices except in the presidential column. They were running against nobody. But, I mean, you know, I some people say, like, oh, they're running for Congress in, let's say, you know, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, well, where in Pennsylvania, and they don't even understand that there's a difference between, you know what I mean, that those elections are all completely local.
Totally.
Local, like within a few blocks local.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, I mean, education, of course, is important, is the most important thing.
I mean
and just the, you know, we're so, you know, let's get back to what's going on in the media, which is, again, I founded the Culture Crush because I was, you know, as a reaction to media and my my frustration with media. I, you know, obviously come from the magazine world, and from the, let's say, old media, and that wasn't moving very fast with technology. So I was paying very close attention to all of the new media, and I, you know, honestly was, you know, very, I didn't really see that was going down an incredible path that I wanted to jump on that train either. And now with the problem with the fake news and the how easily outsiders or anybody can manipulate
Crazy.
All of those systems, and it was very, very naive of society to think that was not going to happen.
But it's also very naive, I think, that the folks like Facebook, you know, I think that's something we really have to look at, you know, as much as it's all part of our, you know, of the zeitgeist of this, of the moment that's how we communicate, hit me up on Facebook or Insta me and blah, blah, blue, and, you know, Snapchat and all of that. I think when you look at, I think that anyone like Facebook really has to look at the responsibility that they had and have right now, because, you know, all the crazy fake news that came out that they, you know, we're trained now, because we have so much, you know, we're so hyper vigilant about media, I think, and we have so much that we get inundated with. When you see those stupid headlines, and when you saw that you know, that nonsense, of course there was a part of us that knew it was nonsense, you know, regardless of what side of and what party we were you know, subscribing to. But at the same time, you know, you still looked at it, so it still made a dent
right.
on your psyche.
And you
still
had an
made
emotional reaction.
Absolutely,
it's the gamification of information. It's like playing. It's like playing a game where you like get the dot inside the whatever, and you get that little rush. And yeah, when you see something come up on your Facebook feed, that's like, oh my God, that's what I think too. And
yes,
I guess what, you know, the reason I brought this up is because what's so shocking to me is that people get their news from Facebook.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, for me, it's like, oh, you know, this friend I went to high school with just had another baby. You know, I always feel like anything I see on Facebook has, and if it's news, it has to be at least 3 or 4 days old.
Yeah.
So it's not anything
I
like
think,
that.
I think
but
that's
the,
speaking
we just,
to...
We just yeah. found out, though, that the opposite is true, that a lot of people do get
a lot of
news
people
from
do.
Facebook.
Because it's... I think what this election particularly has revealed is how much in silos we've all been living. Here we were thinking that, oh, with the advent of
all
this technology...
We're all connected
and we can look at anything and we want. No, you don't. It's already been decided and it was curated for us. And I think this is where Culture Crush and so many of us that really care to make a difference are going to make a difference. I think the veils are off. On what was actually going on. And so when you realize, oh my gosh, even my feed via Facebook, even Insta, all of it, you're just getting the algorithm actually works so that you were getting fed what you were already looking at,
of course,
including advertising. And so, you know, this is why it's very exciting when you have, you know, disruptors like Wikiburg, et cetera, that are coming along going, well, actually, you're going to have to do some work, and it is called discovery. So it means you have to actually go in there and ask, you know, and it will give you a response, and I'm sure there's going to be others. But, you know, the idea is to be... properly informed, so then you can make a decision based on the information at hand, not just be fed, or rather, you know, I think like everybody, we felt like we would be like, you know, we were almost ready to vomit. We had so much media, you know, on our heads, down our throats, in our ears, in our hearts, constantly. It was really hard to kind of remove ourselves from all of that. And then, you know, the nonsense that transpired a week leading up into the election, I think all of that's bruised us. You know, when you realize, gosh, were we all part of a game here?
Yeah, we're all, for the last 2 years, in a very abusive relationship with media.
Yeah.
And this whole election cycle and you know, it's been brewing for a long time. It's been brewing in the sense that I don't think most people really even understand that Facebook is feeding them, you know, that it's not just like if I post something, they're going to see it. Mm-hmm. I really mm-hmm. believe that most people don't even understand
but then,
it at that
But I will
level.
Say that there's another person, there's a whole bunch of people, and I think, again, this moment has clarified that, certainly for me, is that there's a whole bunch of people who say, whose response to you saying that would be, I've got so much to deal with. I don't want to actually do any of that. I'm happy for them to curate and give me what I want to look at. Thank you.
Yes. Trust them.
I'm happy with that. Don't give me more.
And look back to when, you know, the government was trying to get Apple to open the phone for them. And to me, that was like the fact that people trust Apple Inc., which is a corporation, more than they trust the government. I'm not saying one is even better than the other, but how so this gets back into another big Culture Crush thing, is this over-branding of society, and people consider brands like... they have relationships with brands as if, like, I trust that brand, or I don't trust that brand, or I believe what that brand tells
me. But it's the whole hero story, because we had the hero attached to it.
And it goes back to corporations are people, you know? I mean, and that actually is a correct description of how people feel about brands, which are actually just... sort of cartoon faces of corporations. Now we're getting really now we're getting into the conspiracy theories, but they are. And that's something that so back to sort of a culture crush stuff. First of all, I wanna say, like, let's bend this into a positive, which is culture crush was born because we love beautiful, beautiful stories that there are plenty of. Even if they're not in your Facebook feed, there are these beautiful stories all around the world that can be very simple stories. They could be, your conversation at Phoenix House. There are these beautiful human moments going on all the time. And we go out and we fall in love with these stories and we want to put them together. And that's what we want to communicate back to our audience, is we want them to fall in love with the story also. So
this is a time for great beauty.
And how can we do that? Yeah. We can do that through music, through beautiful imagery, through documentary photography, again, which is why we're so adamant about there's plenty of, if you look at fashion magazines or any of these sort of other cool magazines, and they're basically taking pictures of clothes, it's all product based, or who has a movie coming out. And so there's nothing wrong with like an amazing, beautiful photograph of a beautiful celebrity. I love that just as much as anyone else.
But I think it's also lovely to look at someone that doesn't. Yeah, it's always a sell. And I think this is a moment, to kind of look at magic and mystery, and to also be willing to be a creator of that yourself, whether as an individual or with your company. And I was thinking a lot about, like, you look at those moments historically, even in the last 40 years or 50 years, you look at what happened with hip hop, look at how reggae, reggae music and the beautiful, sweet lyricism and poetry and just, harmonic sweetness that came out of reggae, that was born out of some crappy situations in Kingston, Jamaica, very dangerous, very volatile. And yet, if you read the words, emancipate my mental slavery, I mean, that's this moment again, so that was born out of that. And then look at hip hop, born out of, some crazy situations out of the 70s, from 74 into 79, where it was, urban renewal, and the African American communities were calling it Negro removal. And then you look at what came out of people being so pushed down and so, penned up in bigotry and hatred, and that went both ways, and a very complex time in world history. Certainly, I think New York City happened to be emblematic of that moment. But what came out of it? Turntablism, beautiful graffiti art, breakdancing and movement that is still now prevalent.
Right, and all you needed was a piece of cardboard. Yeah.
But it came out of crap. It got spun out of some really hateful, horrible situations. And I think that, going back to this idea of hope for now, I think that is our biggest learning right now, is to actually look at, why be fearful? Even Obama was talking about it. There's no apocalypse. Wait, you don't talk about it until it's here. There's no such thing, and it's not going to happen. And I think this is a moment to kind of say, it is what it is. What is my response? Not what do I think so I can talk to my friends about it, or to my family, or my business.
What do I think the president should do?
Don't worry about the president. Right. He is a reflection of what we, just like the Kardashian phenomenon, we collectively looked at that and looked at enough rubbish long enough that we now, our energetic response is that.
Is that
now we're all complicit. We are it is what it is.
Even the two of us. Mm-hmm. We're part of it. The world that we are in, a Trump presidency is part of that world. Mm-hmm. And it actually, if you sort of can remove yourself and pretend we're from a different planet, it kind of makes sense.
It absolutely.
Who else would it be?
It is a living embodiment of what this collective consciousness was choosing to look at. And that's globally. We chose to look at it. And now we can make conscious decisions. And that's where my work comes in, where, we really, with So this thing that we've actually created, I don't even know what to call it sometimes, but I call it a dip into bliss, and it's a meditation practice.
I love dip into bliss. That's what yeah, we just said. Simple. We have it. It's like it's because it makes it simple. Seem, it's just, it's easy. You don't it's have, easy. It's not a journey. You just not dip a journey. It, dip in.
Dip in. It's a dip in. And it was, and it is very much so we can give you access to stillness so you can quieten your thoughts in a very elegant and simple way, but also more than anything, so you have access to your own stillness. And in that is where you access all of your creativity. All creativity comes from stillness. It comes from listening to yourself, to that place where we will say the first step is that place of self-inquiry. And I think that's on a gross level, kind of what is the opportunity here? How do I feel? One of our great teachers, Ramana Maharshi, says, forego all the looking at holy places, your temples, your mosques, and your churches. There's one question to ask yourself, and that is, who am I? And in this moment right now, what is your contribution? Not do you want to deride someone else about, and what do you want to, you know, poke fun at, or what do you want to, you know, even when, and when you see things that are repugnant, whatever that might be, what's your response going to be? It's easy to be a complainer, blah, blah, blah. You know, right. We've heard enough. What's your, my dad always says, what's the creative response? What is your creative response? And that's this moment. For me, it's going to be to make sure that the music that we make, to make sure that the meditation experiences that we make, the food we make, which is the next thing we're going to make, the scents that we're creating, the jewelry, which is all created with crystals and stones, all of those things have got to be incredibly beautiful and make people feel lustful, which would be great. But more than that, I wanted to have powerful healing properties that it will inspire you, elevate you, uplift you, give you a feeling of other, and remind you of your own magnificence. That's the moment. Right. That's the power of this moment. If we shut up enough.
Right. And I completely agree. It's a very powerful moment, and it's about like looking at it and trying to harness something out of it to make a beautiful expression. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of power. So we actually have a lot of power to do very beautiful things.
That's right.
The opening essay of issue 7, which is the title came out as The Kids Are All Right, is, you know, I was thinking a lot about that. And this was done before, you know, just before the election. And that was kind of what I was thinking, that, you know, we're from a different generation. Mm-hmm. You know, the world that we're living in right now, I think, is a result of the sort of baby boomers, I think they shoulder a lot of the responsibility mm-hmm. for the world as it is right now. And you know, myself, as a Gen Xer, mm-hmm. you know, we've been talking about this mm-hmm. sort of all year. You know, we got ignored by marketers and advertisers because we were too little and we were the slackers and we were just sitting around and we were watching MTV and, you know, all that stuff. So we didn't get marketed to, we didn't get manipulated, we didn't get branded. And so when I look at the young generation, I look at the millennials and young, and even and younger
Gen
than
Z.
that,
mm-hmm.
and I just think to myself, you know, I feel like, you know, they're not responsible for this, but this is the world that they are now
and yet they are, because I think there was an enormous amount of folks that were able to vote,
right,
but, have their voices
right. So
heard, and they didn't.
But they now are, you know, especially the millennials, let's say, now they are participating in adult life, and they are, you know, but they were born so marketed to, so overbranded, so, oh my God, I'm 14, and if I haven't developed my own personal brand and I don't have 20 million Instagram followers, like, I'm gonna, you know, I mean, I can't imagine what that would have been like as a teenager or even
being in my 20s. I think it's easy to kind of look at that retrospectively and say, well, what would that have been like? None of us know what any of it is. I think that, you know, it is what it is in the moment that it is. And I think everybody has different things that they have to deal with generationally. And one of the things that I wanted to actually suggest that we all do as people that are, you know, in business and branding, and certainly that have big media voices like Culture Crush, is, you know, let's actually be a real community and say that we are a community.
Exactly.
And who cares about what the person, like, I have a bunch of people that come to me that are, you know, classified by way of marketing people, which is all it really is.
Exactly.
Marketing people said, okay, here's Gen Z and here's the millennials. And I think it's rubbish.
Exactly.
That's rubbish.
Right, and that's what I was getting to, is that I feel that we sort of have a responsibility to exactly what you're saying, to sort of throw all of that away and
take the veils off
and say that, you know, it build communities around these, you know, things that we do have in common. And I think that the Culture Crush is a lot about that too. It's about like finding different tribes, different communities of people who all share in things that can't be described through demographics and through advertising buckets.
It's those buckets, I think, are fallacious, and I think they always have been. It's what, you know, no one really, because you only have to walk down a street in any city, in any town in the world, and you don't know. It used to be that a gal of a certain age would wear a certain thing of a certain thing, and now we've got people wearing kicks in one way, wearing hats, and the veils are off because part of what's happened is we now are able to see fashions in a fashion in a different way. We're seeing, you know, ourselves in a different way. We're going to see, you know, similar movies. We're listening to similar music. You know what? And now we've got, because of the advent of technology being so frictionless, well, so much more frictionless, I think it also makes people feel like, hey, I can order that book and I can download that song, and I'm part of this moment too. I think with you know, technology kind of put people in silos before, and that's debunked very much so. So today I think we can lean into and be real protagonists in a wisdom community, and there's tons of folks that I have in my life that are much older folks who feel like, you know, I'm a fringe dweller, I'm kind of an outlier, and I go, no, actually, we want to hear you. There's different people.
I feel here, the same
and
way.
Then I've got great wisdom that are coming out of people that are 17 and 18 who I think
I
we
agree.
Better listen to as well, who are saying, you know what, please consider me differently. You know, I've got something to say, and I haven't been on the planet as long as, you know, those folks over there, but I kind of feel like this, and this is a moment where we can really be gentle with one another and invite wisdom as a community. And when I say that word community, I don't mean, you know, where we just sit together and have a social, you know, and have a bit of a drink or whatever. I mean a real time, which is why I was saying in the LGBT and the Q community, you know, that community is, you know, filled with artists and writers and painters, beautiful, sensitive spirits who are feeling like, what's going to happen to us? You know, where do we fit here? You know, when we've been, it's very demoralizing right now for, you know, for a lot of folks. So they're really starting to mobilize around ACT UP, and great community work is starting to happen. And we're starting a meditation program so we can actually have a space and a protocol for people to kind of come into a place of quiet and sit and listen and feel and be in a sacred, safe environment so they can speak from their heart, not their mind necessarily, but speak.
Right. And that's why, to me, I feel like it's culture itself that's under attack right now, because, you know, there's always, like, just as you were saying, like, where do a lot of, you know, creative things come from all of these communities that are now about to be, who had made so much progress, who are now, you know, there's obviously this movement to try and marginalize them again.
But that's where we're going to stand up and say, actually, that's not an option.
Right, and that's where we get more creative. That's where
absolutely.
We get more creative.
Absolutely. We can get more creative, and we can also, part of our community means to convene, which means that's where we can talk, listen, and then take action.
And dance.
Looking at it and dance.
And paint.
And absolutely.
And photograph.
Absolutely.
And
make
all
our films
things.
and sing our songs and write our poetry and all those things. Because that's the troubadour is the one that holds the energy. You know, that will tell the story.
Right.
You know, and I'm hoping and not hoping, I know that our songs are going to be different. You know, how we dance is different. How we actually are entertained, what films will come out of that. We've already been seeing that in the last few years. Beautiful, sensitive stories, not just films, they're stories.
Musicals, you know, are coming back.
Musicals, documentaries, where we're actually looking at people's stories and looking at what wisdom we can learn from someone's great journey on this earth. You know,
right.
So it's beautiful. I think this is the most fantastic time we've ever seen. really.
Yeah,
the toughest too.
It's tough, but of course, you know, now is the time where great creativity is, you know, really going to really get the. It's going to be considered valuable again, mm-hmm. rather than how many page views or how many followers do you have.
Yes.
So that's something, obviously, that's very exciting for us here at the Culture Crush.
I was sitting with a big brand. You know, it's funny when you're talking about the brands and with a big agent, big brand, and they were like, what are your social numbers and what are you doing on Twitter and what are you doing on Insta and what are you doing and what do you, they were peppering me with questions about what I have to say, which is a lot. I do have a lot to say, but I said, I just want to tell you guys, I really don't care about how many followers I have. The work that I do is for you to find yourself. And they stopped in the meeting, looked at each other, and they were like, did you say that?
Right.
And they were like, write that down. That's amazing.
Tweet that.
I said, I actually mean it, though. This is what's important, that we help one another find ourselves, you know, when it is tough, when people are really struggling, no doubt about it, probably more so than ever right now. So to me, it's a direct application of actually that part of going local and being a part of this culture is look at that person, like the doorman downstairs, it's his birthday today. Ask, hey, how's it going? Good morning. How are you?
Right.
And don't just say, how are you? And in a bleak way and off you go.
Right.
Stop and ask somebody. And when someone's struggling, ask them how you might be of service.
Right, exactly. So, okay, so we're putting heads together on
hearts
and heads, and trying to, you know, move forward with, you know, where the Culture Crush is going to go from here.
I'm looking at Yoda behind you. You got beautiful Yoda-san says, "Don't try, do." Just do. Just do it. No more trying.
There is no try.
There is no try.
All right. Okay, because we're sitting.
There is no try.
We're sitting in the studio, and there are a lot of pictures of a story that I did at Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah.
So there's a huge portrait of Yoda behind me, and
he's telling me to tell Deborah, do.
There is no try. And so, you know, I it's not as if we need to change course. I feel definitely that all year we've been sort of shouting this battle cry, and I think we're about to get a bit louder. And
mm-hmm.
and I think that is, you know, a lot about, you know, a lot of meetings that I've had this year in launching this, and meetings where people say, well, how many, what is your network of influencers? You know, and I'm just like, I really can't answer that question. If I start to think like that, I can't do the Culture Crush. The Culture mm-hmm. Crush isn't about that. So what is it about? We're very excited for all of the stories that we're going to continue doing. And I hope to up the frequency of everything, because I think, you know, these stories are bubbling up to the surface
now.
Yeah. Just, you know, they're coming out.
I would
us.
Love to do one for you. I'd love
oh
to write
God.
With you, and I would love us to do something on consciousness.
Okay. You
on
got
that
it.
Conscious culture crush. Let's crush it.
Yeah. Crush that. Okay. And so we are going to be doing and we are going to go down to Washington and cover the inauguration, and we're taking our A team of documentary photographers
Amazing.
With us, and we're gonna we want to document the whole thing, not one side or the other side or whose side is anybody on, or try to get pictures of celebrities, but just to sort of just take stock of the whole situation.
Yeah.
And again, like we always do here, is try to grab the stories out of the world, and, you know, to actually document like what you know, the moments that are actually happening. And
this is a great moment to realize there are no sides. There is you and me
and the world
and us and the world, and we're it,
and
this is the moment to kind of really be welcoming of what that means, even when you find something to be not tolerable to you. It's, you better stop and listen and see what it is, because
it's not going away.
It's not only not going away, but it's also a reflection of you in that which we despise, that which we find repugnant, nearly always echoes something in ourselves. It just does. And so that is also part of it. And also I think, you know, when we go to Washington and we're part of it, there's no us and them. We are part of this. Yeah, this is our story, our collective moment.
Yeah, we can't say that we have a democracy and act like, oh, not my, it's not about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are, the government is us.
The demos.
And if we if we want to say that that's not the case, then... You know, then, but I believe that that is the case. And I think that you agree, and we already talked about that, that like I take responsibility for what's going on.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And I think everybody has to. And
responsibility, and next comes action, informed action, where we can actually say, what are the things that you want? What is it? And the most, I think the really big question is, what do you want it to look like?
Right.
You know, what does it look like
to
us?
What does it sound like?
Yeah, what does it sound like? What does it look like? What is it meaning like? What does it feel like? What's the vibration of it? You know, what does it sound? What does it taste like? What does it feel like to be heard? What does it feel like to be a participant? Because we are participants, you know, and not to be lazy right now. You know, not to be lazy. Get in. I think there's, I'll share with you some of those sites and stuff like the Wikiburg one and any others. We should just keep that as an open dialogue so people can come to Culture Crush site and see what it is that, you know, that's new, that's interesting, that we can share.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. All right, so let's wrap this up for today.
Yes.
And I hope you come back.
Yes.
And I think we have a lot of work to do together.
I'll give you guys a meditation
future.
As well to do.
Okay,
so you
great.
Can close your eyes and do a meditation.
We all need that right now.
It's called a dip into bliss for acceptance, because that's part of what we have to do right now.
Okay. All right, so thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. Lovely to be here.